I want to start by thanking the organizers for putting this program together and for the invitation to speak here. I wish also to take advantage and thanks the IFROM Qubit collaboration and especially its organization for all the wonderful years that they have given to us, and at least myself, I certainly going to miss it. So today I'm going to present a work that I did in collaboration with Vijay Balasubramanian, Albion Lorenz, and Martin Sassieta. And the talk is going to be organized around some specific questions, these ones here. So the first, we want to ask, what do we mean precisely by a microstate? And after answering this question, we would like to provide, or at least look for, a general method to construct microstate in general theories. In particular, we would like to derive a method, or to construct a method, to construct black hole microstates that allow us to study their nature, in particular the geometric properties and the universal features. Later, we are going to see that after we explain the construction, it's going to be necessary that we learn how to count these microstates. It's not going to be trivial. So let's start with the first question. A strong notion of microstate is as follows. So basically, we ask the microstate to provide the same expectation values, or approximately the same expectation values, as the thermal density matrix for some effective temperature. In other words, or equivalently, we want the microstate to be almost indistinguishable from the thermal ensemble when measured with conserved charge or simple operators like relaxation observables. Now, given this definition, what are examples of microstates in generic theories? Well, the most famous examples, the most obvious candidates, are the energy eigenstates in chaotic theories. And this statement is known as the eigenstate thermalization hypothesis. But as we all know, constructing energy eigenstates is very difficult in practice. And actually, it is probably just impossible, leaving aside numerical diagonalization. Luckily, there are further examples that appear that have appeared recently in the literature. For example, we have a construction in SYK. In SYK, we know precisely how to write the Hilbert space of the theory. The Hilbert space of the theory can be written in terms of the computational basis, here denoted by the Bs, and we can construct microstates for the SYK Hamiltonian at a certain temperature by evolving this computational basis in Euclidean time for a while. Now, the problem, of course, here, I mean, this is an interesting construction, but the problem is how do we generalize this notion of computational basis to more generic theories, and in particular to quantum field theories and conformal field theories. Further examples appear in this paper here in the context of JT gravity. They are related, but it's a little bit different, the construction. So in this article, a new class of microstates was put forward under the name of partially entangled thermal states. And these are states that can be constructed in the double Hilbert space. And they basically arise by inserting local primaries in the Euclidean semicircle and see what state they produce at the time symmetric slice. The advantage of these microstates is that they actually have a very precise geometric description, a very simple one, and they form the main motivation for our construction. So following this trend, we would like to ask for a general method, if there is such a thing, for a general method to construct microstates in conformal field theories. And to make progress around this question, we propose to focus on an insightful set of quantum states that arise by considering so-called Dussel operators. So a Dussel operator is this operator here. It's a composed operator that basically, intuitively, it creates a bunch of particles in the spatial slice where the field theory lives. Here I'm assuming for simplicity that the field theory lives in a sphere. So this Dussel operator is labeled by the number of insertions and by the specific insertion angles of the operators. So with these operators, we can, in the same way as the partially entangled pure state that I just described, I can use this operator to create states in the double Hilbert space by inserting one or two or more operators in the Euclidean semicircle. And by definition, The path integral provides a state that in the energy basis can be written in this way. Now, let me explain a little bit the logic for considering these operators. The logic is that by taking many products of, let's say, any operator that you want to choose in a, basically in a chaotic conformal field theory, you will create basically the full theory in the fusion of this operator. So I'm taking this n, I'm allowing it to go to infinity. So I'm producing a very complicated, increasingly complicated set of operators, a discrete set of operators, that will produce basically the full Hilbert space of the theory. Of course, by doing that, by varying n, I'm increasing the energy of the operator, and I will go away from the microcanonical window that I want to study. And to solve that problem, I evolved in the Euclidean direction with some, and this evolution is controlled by some free parameters, this beta tilde, that are free to use to our advantage. So this way we can project down. We create a Dassel operator that has a very large energy, but then we project down in the Euclidean evolution, so to put the state in the energy window that we want to consider. Let me remark that these states are as micro as one can get in the CFT. There are, of course, other choices that are as micro as this one, but there is nothing more, let's say, quote, micro than this. But of course, still we need to show these are just states, some precise states in the field theory. Still, we need to show the strong notion that I just mentioned before. And it would be nice to make progress with these states for generic chaotic conformal field theory. For the time being, what we will show is that we can show that these are indeed microstates for holographic field theories. And the trick here is to tune the states so that we lock the information about the perturbation behind the event horizon of a black hole with prescribed temperature. And with this, I'm ready to do the first important claim, that for specific preparation temperatures and for holographic conformal field theories, Dassel states for any number of insertions, well, for any sufficiently large number of insertions, but then until n equal to infinity, these are microstates in the strong sense. So how do we prove this? Actually, it is kind of simple. This follows because these conformal field theory states have effective geometric descriptions in terms of a pressureless perfect fluid localized in the wall volume of the cell. So this perfect fluid has a stress tensor of the usual form, and the physics is that the cell falls through the geometry in a certain trajectory, and due to spherical symmetry, well, it divides the geometry into two pieces. And due to spherical symmetry, we have the black hole geometry on both sides of the cell. This, on one stroke, implies that outside the horizon, all measurements that we do, like which is where we measure, for example, conserved charges or relaxation observables, they will be approximately the same as the answer we get by the thermal density metrics. The only thing that we need to make sure is that indeed this cell falls inside the horizon, okay? And to do this, we need to study a little bit more in detail the equations of motion. This follows from Israel junction conditions, and they are described in the article. Let me just say what are the constraints for this solution to exist, and these are very simple constraints. These are basically some saddle point equations that relate the physical inverse temperature of the black hole we want to create, so the inverse temperature of this black hole, say, or this black hole, it relates it to the inverse preparation temperature and the time that the cell takes to through its journey. Okay, this relation follows from the equation, but it is very intuitive. It can be just read off from the Euclidean diagram. So these are the only constraints for the solution to exist, but let me say that these constraints are quite permissive from a certain point of view. And this point of view is that we can fix this physical black hole temperature as we wish, so we can give it a value. And then we can choose any number of insertions in the Dassel operator, so which translates to the energy density of the cell or to the proper mass of the cell. We can choose any value also. And then we can always, for those two values, the arbitrary values, we can always tune this parameter here, the preparation temperature, so that this relation remains valid. So this way we can construct let me come back to the states. This way we can construct a discrete set of quantum states labeled by the number of insertions. We just increase the number of insertions. So we have a countable discrete set of quantum states in the CFT, infinite number, that are microstates from the strong point of view. Let me just, for future use, let me say that, again, as for the JT gravity case studied by describing the previous in the article before, these microstates have a precise geometric interior. Basically, the volume of the Einstein-Rosen bridge is roughly proportional to the mass of the cell. Well, this is this functional form can be computed. Precisely, this is kind of this is the solution for large masses. Okay, so let's stop for to make some remarks. So for this, it is interesting that for this construction to hold, we only needed a not so heavy operator. With not so heavy means not of the order of the central charge. A scalar primary with some large dimension, but not scaling with the central charge. And therefore, these microstates, this type of microstates, are there for general relativity plus a scalar field, but in principle, they are there as well for n equal to 4 super Young mean, which has these operators as well. So in principle, this is a venue to construct and study precise microstates in string theory. Let me also mention that remark that the effective description of these microstates contains singularities and contains horizons, and we see it as a feature, not as a bug, and in particular, at least in my view, it explains why the fastball program, which was seeking microstates without horizon and singularity, was stuck to some extent. Basically, there are Most of the states that we have we can construct have these properties. Let me also remark again that the Einstein-Rosen bridge, in principle, grows indefinitely, so we can construct microstates with infinite Einstein-Rosen bridge, and we will comment about that later in the talk. So now moving forward, it is obvious that this discrete countable family of black hole microstates naively overcount the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, and it can be seen as a sharpened version of Wheeler's bag of gold geometry. From the gravitational standpoint, this was studied before by, in particular, these very similar solutions can be found already in the book by Frolov and Novikov, and recently they were considered by Fu and Dong. But the nice feature of our construction is that in this case, it is very difficult to argue that this microstate should not contribute to the black hole degeneracy. The reason is that we constructed these microstates directly in the conformal field theory. So if ADS CFT is correct, they certainly have to contribute. So we have to face the problem. And the question really is some question that has appeared in the literature in various different sorts is whether they really overcount black hole entropy or not. And for that, we have to learn how to count them, how to properly count them. So before explaining that, what we are going to need to learn how to count them is the inner product between these microstates. So we now are going to explain how to compute the inner products and the products of inner products. This overline notation means that we are going to compute these quantities using the gravitational action, so the Einstein-Hilbert term, plus the Gibbons-Hawking term, plus the contribution of the cell. And let me say that we can organize the computation just by asking for the geometrical connected piece associated to the end product, which can be written as the ratio of a potential n-boundary wormhole and the norms of the individual states. Let me say that this kind of a structure was first found in the article by Senker and Stanford, and we will comment on the precise relation at the end of the talk. So Having said this, let's see what are the solutions, the Euclidean solutions that compute all these quantities for n boundaries. So for the norm of the state, we just have one boundary, and the Euclidean solution that computes the norm is this one here. So this is a very simple solution to the questions of motions. It's basically just a black hole, but one that is cut by the trajectory of the cell, which contributes to the action. The action of the two-boundary wormhole is computed by this solution here. These are solutions to the Euclideans of motion of general relativity that connect two boundaries. These solutions were found by Chandra and by Harman and Sassieta, and they can be seen as generalizations to general dimensions and general relativity of some solutions that were found by Stanford in JT gravity. We will need also the n-boundary wormhole, and this can be, let me say that these solutions are kind of strangely simple to construct. They are just, one just take two Euclidean black holes now, and then cut them by the trajectories of the cell, and then identify the cells in the appropriate way. So, with that kind of gluing and sewing procedure, one can construct the n-boundary wormhole in the very same way. And here I show, for example, the six-boundary wormhole. Again, as mentioned before, it is at least we still didn't do it. I will comment a little bit at the end of the talk. But in principle, we certainly have the hope that this type of solutions will exist in string theory as well, in some approximation. So let me also remark that the action, well, first, that these wormholes are not replica symmetric. Here we have generic configurations of masses, of number of insertions. And we could also generalize the situation to have generic configurations of insertion angles. And also, let me remark that the action of all these solutions can be computed precisely for any configuration of masses in the boundaries. The computation is not so hard, and in three dimensions, it can be computed to the end, even analytically. But what will be important for today is that the action of all these solutions simplifies enormously when we take the large mass limit. So in the large mass limit, what happens is that the time elapsed by the cell goes to zero. Basically, the cell pinches the geometry. And leaving aside, so this solution that we had before here, these two trajectories pinch the geometry, leaving two thermal cycles, two Euclidean black holes with an inverse temperature, which is twice the original black hole temperature. This simplifies enormously the calculation of the square of the inner product, which just becomes dysfunctional in terms of the Gibbons-Hawking partition function of the theory. So for the part of the audience that is familiar with the spectrum form factor in chaotic theories and black holes, this solution provides the plateau of the spectrum form factor, and we will comment about it at the end of the talk again. Let me say that a similar simplification occurs for the n-boundary wormhole. Again, we can compute it for any mass, but in the limit of large masses, we get this very simple functional in terms of the Gibbons-Hawking partition function. So with this information, we are now ready to compute the. So the question we need to ask is what is the real Hilbert space dimension spanned by this infinite family of microstates. So in general, whenever we have a set of vectors in a Hilbert space, the dimension of the Hilbert space spanned by this set of vectors is given by the rank of the grand matrix of overlaps. So we are going to choose a set of a number of say omega cell microstates with well-separated masses so that we can apply the approximation before. And this is very simple to do. We just take our first microstate with a large mass, which means a large number of insertions in the dust cell operator. And then we choose another one with mass 2m and so on and so forth until a microstate of mass omega m. And given now we have a discrete and finite set of microstates, and the goal is to compute the rank of the grand matrix for such set of states. And this computation can be done using the results that I just described, the gravitational inner products, together with the fact that the rank of a matrix is given by the number of positive eigenvalues, and that number of positive eigenvalues can be computed from the density of states of the matrix. To compute the density of a state of the matrix, we follow similar steps as the West Coast model. So the solution is I will spare you with the details of the computation, but the final form of the density of states is this one here, where I have defined both S to be twice the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. So given this formula, I can compute the rank of the Gram matrix, which is the dimension of the Hilbert space spanned by the set of vectors that I have chosen. And this we see that this, as a function of omega, we see that it increases linearly and then saturates precisely at the Bekenstein-Hawking degeneracy. Intuitively, what this means is very simple. At the beginning, when we choose we begin to add microstates to our set, we create through orthogonal, through new Hilbert space directions, and after the transition, adding more microstates doesn't create new Hilbert space directions, or equivalently, the new microstate can be written as a linear combination of the old ones. Notice that this is kind of quite dramatic, because these microstates, I remind that they had like very precise geometric description and actually differ geometrically very much from one another. I want to end with a couple of remarks. The first remark is that this construction, one promising aspect of it, is that it seems to be easily generalizable. In particular, for the moment, we have already generalized it to charged Reisner-Nostrum black holes, to rotating Myers-Perry black holes, and also to include quantum corrections of several sorts, such as those appearing in near-extremal non-BPS, and those appearing in near-extremal BPS, which also have appeared in a nice article recently, and more general quantum corrections due to quantum fields. And the final remark, I want to explain that this construction unifies various versions of the information paradox. So on one hand, we have the avatar of the information paradox in ADS-CFT described by Juan Maldacena a long time ago. This avatar of the information paradox is typically seen as a kind of a requirement, not as a sufficient condition, and it deals with the behavior, the long-time behavior of correlation functions, and maybe more at present with the long-time behavior of what is known as the spectrum four factor. Now, to go from this problem to the long-time problem, from our construction to this avatar, we just see the mass of the cell as a time, and then what we have in that, this defines a trajectory in the Hilbert space, and what we have done from that perspective is to solve Juan's avatar, and so that actually provides a statistical explanation of the origin of black hole entropy. If you want, going in the opposite direction, I could have chosen another continuous family of microstates. I could have started with the thermofield double and evolved it with, the left Hamiltonian. This produced a continuous set of microstates in the strong sense, as I mentioned before. And solving Juan's avatar would again provide the proof that those microstates span a Hilbert space with the right dimension. Let me mention that is actually that solving that problem with this initial state has still not been accomplished just by Stanford and collaborators in JT Gravity 3 months ago, half a year ago. Let me say that to go to the page curve derivations, we just see the Gram matrix as a toy model of an evaporating density matrix. And this kind of construction now unifies the two versions, the long-time versions and the page curve, in a quantitative way. This is a question that was asked by Steve Schenker in the annual meeting in 2019 after presenting these results. But in this construction, they become exactly equivalent. And let me say that it also unifies it with a more recent incarnation of the information paradox, which can be included in the problem of whether the Einstein-Rosen bridge saturates or not. In these articles, as we all know, it was proposed that certain gravitational quantities, such as the Einstein-Rosen bridge volume or the Wheeler-DeWitt action, or the or more general quantities that Rob described to us a couple of days ago, should saturate because they should be somehow related to suitable notions of complexity, which in a finite Hilbert space should saturate. The reason they saturate for us, we can formulate this problem in the same way, and the reason they saturate is just that when for super exponential Einstein-Rosen bridge, what we have just proven is that they can be expanded in the exponential, in black hole microstates with only exponential Einstein-Rosen bridge, and this on one stroke solves all the conjectures in the same. From the holographic point of view, since all these quantities will saturate at the expected value. And for microscopic models of that, in terms of Kirilov complexity, I defer to this reference and to Austin Poster in this conference. And with this, I finish. And thank you very much.
Questions from the audience? Yes, Mark.
I think we might have discussed this a long time ago, but I can't remember our discussion. But so it seems interesting if you take derivatives with respect to beta left and beta right, then it seems like you could then just get matrix elements of the Hamiltonian between all your states.
Yes. And then we didn't pursue that. In principle, it could be, and it could, in principle, yeah, one could expect that maybe that this is an approach to the more conventional spectrum form factor. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So would that? I mean, that would if would that define a? It seems like that would be a fine Hamiltonian. So would that would define some quantum system, and
that would define some random matrix, some random matrix Hamiltonian from these partition functions.
And can you would that be the same if you did a different construction with different, I mean, slightly different choices of states? Would I guess you'd get a different, just a different.
I think the statistics would be consistent. In the sense that they are pretty universal.
Yeah.
But it's a good question. I'm just saying that I remember your question, and we didn't pursue that direction. But in principle, yes. In principle, one should be able to derive the statistics of a putative random matrix Hamiltonian from this kind of inner products. That's
Okay. Thanks.
More questions? If not, okay.
So I've asked this before, but I'll ask it again. So do you think, you know, essentially this is different from the Gibbons-Hawking calculation where you just compute the entropy? You know, rank of the Gram matrix doesn't sound that different to me than entropy.
Yeah, I mean, what I think is different, I mean, so as I understood the problem of deriving a statistical derivation of any entropy, and in particular a statistical derivation of black hole entropy, is that one should provide spaces of microstates, and then argue that those have the right dimension. I see this as a specific, for example, when one tries to explain the Gibbons-Hawking partition function as a trace in the energy basis, this is, we know it's very difficult, because in the energy basis we cannot distinguish between different microstates. Because it's basically continuous, the spectrum, because of the average, okay?
Yeah, but do you
But
think-
here in this construction, in this construction, the interesting point is that, at least from my point of view, one of the interesting points is that we have a discrete set of microstates. So they can be constructed for any CFT, particularly, for example, for n equal to 4 super Young Mills. This is part of the problem of explaining black hole entropy from my point of view, is to, given a quantum gravity theory, for example, a string theory, how do I construct precise microstates? This has been there. I mean, the fastball program is what they they try to solve. And this is what has been mainly, I mean, one of the contributions is to say, well, there is actually a quite precise method to construct microstates for your favorite ADS CFT.
Yeah, but do you think your calculation of the inner product is reliable?
Well, that's another question. I think it's. I mean, of course, I would say it's reliable. I mean, that is the. But this is a question of precision, and maybe in the future it can be improved. The question is whether this. I mean, in the question is whether this explains the statistical origin of black hole entropy. That question, I think, it's answered when you provide generically for generic quantum gravity theories spaces of black hole microstates with the that you can count. Because in principle, that's the problem with, as I mentioned, that's the problem with the energy eigenstates. That first, you cannot construct them, and second, in gravity, you cannot even say that they are discrete. You cannot even define a trace. Here I can define a trace. For example, these are discrete states. I can take them as my basis. If you want, in the framework of algebras, it would be a type one algebra. It's really, in that sense, a promising avenue for studying this problem in realistic theories, that you didn't have before.
I mean, it seems to me that you can't reliably compute the inner product, but that you can reliably compute the Gram matrix, and that seems very similar to me to saying you can compute the entropy, but you can't. You know, construct the individual microstates.
But in that sense, I mean, first that criticism applied then the very same way to the page curve derivations.
That's
and I
correct.
Think it's, but I think that is kind of misguided in the sense that we cannot ask the problem of deriving black hole entropy more than we ask to the problem of deriving the entropy of a chaotic system. So in a chaotic system, nobody has derived, Boltzmann would say that the statistics of a system is derived only when you count one by one energy eigenstates, for example. You would have given a statistical derivation of the thermodynamic entropy if you are able to give spaces of microstates with the right properties.
I feel like you're defining away a problem which is important, right? Which is the problem that Strominger and Vafa were able to solve for supersymmetric black holes. It's the program that the fuzzball program wants to solve for more generic black holes, you know, which is actually constructing the microstates in detail, you know, not...
These are microstates in detail.
Yeah, but you're not computing the inner product reliably.
In N equal to 4 superjam mils, you can construct... This is a proposal that, in principle, that's the claim, sure. that is valid for generic conformal field theories.
It's not compatible with the inner product. I mean, it's the same thing that in the West Coast model, right? So, the error of the inner product, that, you know, the variance that's predicted by the path integral is of order the signal that you need, you know, to distinguish the Gram matrix. And of course, the hope is that when you compute the Gram matrix, that washes out. And that's the same, I mean, that's kind of what Euclidean gravity does for us also, just when it computes the entropy, is the error somehow washes out because the entropy is self-averaging. But the inner product is not self-averaging at the scale.
But I think with those standards, what I'm saying is that with those standards, we cannot say that we have explained the statistical origin of thermodynamic entropy for any system, except for free theories, like, for example, the Strominger Vafa was in the free limit, basically.
I think you are setting up a straw man. So when we calculate the entropy of a gas in a room, we're not finding the energy microstates. But we have a description of Hilbert space in terms of particles in the room whose inner products we can compute reliably, you know, for the free system. Then you can say, well, the interacting system is more or less the same. But the inner product does not change when we go from between the free and interacting system. We're only arguing the energy doesn't change too much. That's all we're arguing. Here, this is not a very well-defined Hilbert space, up to a statistical sense. So in a statistical sense, it's perfectly fine, And
but that's why it's a statistical derivation. I mean, this is just a statistic. I mean, the thing that maybe different people is trying to solve different problems. Here we are just saying we are trying to solve given a statistical origin of black hole entropy, and this is the problem we try to solve. And I think at least for me, honestly, I really see no problem. There are other problems, like for example, finding precise energy eigenstates, finding precise inner products. Those are other problems. In any case, I still think also that that the fact that this clearly unifies all versions of the information paradox in a very precise way, Yeah.
Can I? Oh.
No, I let
ahead.
Other people speak.
There's someone who's been waiting to ask a question online, but why don't you go ahead and say what you're going to say?
Well, I mean, we could have said, and essentially that's what PSSY said, but that if you have a black hole past the page time, right, we also have all this set of states, right, that whose inner products have precisely this property, and that's the calculation of the page curve calculating this matrix. Mm-hmm. So that's another basis.
I know. And the one that of the thermofield double that shows that this connects, that this is the same. We could play the same game with. We could construct a toy model of an operating density matrix with the microstates that follow from this construction. I think this construction makes clear those kind of things. At least in my opinion. There are, of course, a disclaimer, this basis that we construct is not fundamental at all. Just a basis in which we can solve the avatar that you mentioned in a continuous way, because we can find the plateau. This plateau has been very elusive in the literature, and actually it was just found for JT gravity one month before our paper. So it is a very elusive plateau that is behind all the conjectures, also the saturation of the Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Pranav, if you're still there, you can unmute and ask your question.
Thank you. My question is somewhat basic. What is the proportionality constant, what is the order of magnitude of the proportionality constant between your density of states and the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy?
Is the correct one. It's area divided by 4G, yes.
On the previous slide, you have a long expression which has area over 4G as a prefactor. Or not a prefactor, but you have like it's in the exponential.
You mean this formula?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is twice. It's twice just because we are considering the two-sided. So it explains the entropy of two black holes.
Okay, so you expect that these states that you computed via this method constitute the majority or a significant fraction of the black hole microstates, and you're not leaving out.
Yeah, they constitute a basis. So the intuition again. I mean, I think, and this is one important contribution that. So the intuition is that one can construct microstates very easily. If one starts with a single microstate and a way to provide a continuous evolution. So for example, the usual one would be to consider a thermofield double and construct microstates by the left-right Hamiltonian. But what we have done, which allows the computation to be done, is choosing this kind of proper mass as a level. But there are many other ways. But it's important, and this is the difference with the page curve derivations, to be specific and to choose a continuous family of microstates that allows to frame the problem in that precise way.
Okay, so you expect that there are very few states which are orthogonal to these dust shell states that you've constructed.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
There are very few states orthogonal to the dust shell. In other words, how do you know it's complete? How do you know there aren't more
states? That is an unsolved question. Actually, in this paper for the BPH case, they could solve it a little bit more properly. One hint that this is the case is that, and this we actually compute ourselves, is that you can take these microstates and compute, for example, inner products with other families of microstates that you want to construct. For example, you could construct microstate with more cells, or you could just take the inner product of such a microstate with the time-evolved thermophile double, which provides another basis of microstates. And this, in principle, would provide a framework to study complementarity from different, I mean, when choosing different bases of the Hilbert space. So this inner product, what I'm saying is that this inner product can be computed, for example, with the thermophile double, and is non-zero, is of the right value to conclude that the thermophile double should be, I mean, we should be able to write the thermophile double, for example, in terms of these bases.
Okay, maybe continue the discussion later, because we are already 5 minutes late. Thanks, Javi, again, and Manus, please come.